Good morning, guys. So it's very lucky to see so many of you here. I was kind of thinking that I will be the 9 o'clock preach would be like for a lot of people, and then the 11 o'clock just for a few, but it's very nice to see a lot of you here. So my name is, maybe just before I start, I've done it in the previous service as well. I'm an Afrikaans person, and I teach English first additional language, but to Afrikaans children. So I know more than them. I know more than them. But yeah, I'm a bit out of my depth because here's English people. So if I don't get my tenses all that perfect, please have grace for me. Christ is enough, and His grace is enough, and I'm sure that I'll get my message across. So my name is Andre Visser. I'm a teacher of profession, and actually what I've realized is in the previous service, there was a girl here that's one of my students, and in this service, there's a girl here that's one of Anita's students. So that's so cool for me. That's an answered prayer, actually, because I've been trusting the Lord to add our school and actually the whole of Gulls River to this congregation as well. And I'm hoping for, in a few years' time, that we can plant a Gulls River community. So that's been a prayer of mine. So let's see how it goes. So as I said, I'm a teacher of profession, and I actually, this COVID-19 lockdown, I'm not sure, it's still lockdown actually, but that first very severe lockdown where all the people were complaining on Facebook about how terrible the children are and how they just, so in that process I've realized that I actually have an important role in society. And just before the lockdown I was kind of looking for what else can I do. But the Lord, one of the things that the Lord did through the lockdown in me is He told me that you still enjoy taking people from point A to point B. So because of that, the Lord also appointed me as a leader in this church and also as a community leader. And there's nothing that gives me more joy than seeing people grow and that the Lord uses me to grow. So one of those couples, they're not here this morning, is Peter and Zelodia. And I can honestly say they have grown so much, and I haven't done anything. I was just there, and the Lord grew them and made them so actually zealous for His word, and the love that they have for Him is just awesome to see. So I want to this morning share something. Usually when I just, yeah, it is the second time that I preach in English. The first time was the 9 o'clock service. But usually when I preach, so when I say usually, it's not that I've preached a lot of times. So I usually teach from a place of where something happened to me as well. And so I feel this morning would be a moment like that for some of you. I pray that it would be a moment like that for some of you. So I want to ask you to open my heart. So what happened? Open your heart. So what happened is on the 7th of July in 2020, this year, I got a fright. The Lord grabbed me. Usually He deals with me kind of suddenly. He sends people. He directs me to Scripture. But then when He gets fed up with me, He grabs a hold of me and He tells me very harsh, severe words that I kind of just get in line again. So what happened is Lord grabbed me and He told me, Andre, you are caught up in stuff that you're not supposed to. You're busy flirting with boundary lines that I've put in place for you, personal boundary lines. And rather than you fleeing as far as possible from that boundary lines, you want to see how close you can get to those boundary lines. And the Lord told the following words to me. He said to me, I want to use you, but I can't. I'm going to move on to somebody else. And for me, I got a fright. I burst out in tears. Literally, I'm not a crier, but I did. And I immediately WhatsApped Donnie and Roland, and I told them and I asked them to help to hold me accountable for that. So the thing is, what I immediately thought, if I drop the ball now, then God's going to move on to the next person. And I know there's grace, but it's just that devastating words. Imagine that thought that God wants to use you. And one day, maybe you'll still go to heaven. But imagine facing God and you know like He wanted to use you but He couldn't because you were not prepared to leave the stuff behind. And so out of that place, I want to preach this morning. And And I really pray, like I said, I really pray that it would be a kind of moment like that for you as well. So can I just pray for us before we start? Father, maybe this message will be a heavy message for some of us, Father God. But Father, it's not supposed to, because there's grace and you are patient with us. And you say that your mercy is on you every morning, Father God. But I pray that this message will, for some of us, cause such an excitement and such a desire to move into more of you, Father God. And we are here for you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you will come speak now. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my preach is a question, and that question is, why are you here? Or what are you doing here? And with here, I don't mean this building. I don't mean this date. I mean, why are you attending church? And again, church is not this gathering once a week. Church is not only Wednesday night Zoom meetings. Pray that it will become real meetings very soon. But for now, it's Zoom meetings. Church is much more than that. Church is helping a friend move. Church is babysitting for somebody, sending a meal when they are sick, or just having a coffee, like Donnie said, having a coffee and rub off on each other. Church is also speaking the truth, but we'll get there. So church is much more than just coming to a meeting. And I wanna ask you this morning, why are you doing this church thing? Why are you in this church? Why are you attending this church? And if I ask you to raise your hands and give me answers, there will be quite good answers. I know there will be. But I want us to go to Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And Ephesians 12 is also kind of the slogan, or where the name 412 comes from. That is the apostolic partnership that we are part of. But I want to back it up one scripture, one verse before that. It says, and he is God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So, first thing that I want to take out of that scripture is verse 11, where it says, God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And those kind of things are also known as the fivefold ministry, or known as the leadership roles that's in the church. So the very first thing that I want us to note is that God appoints, God gave the leadership. God appoints the leadership. I was in a previous congregation in Durbanville PM, and I tried very hard, because I felt that the Lord told me that you will become a leader one day in my house. And I tried very hard. I tried to impress everybody. I tried to do the right things. I tried to be at church an hour early. I served wherever I could. And then Christopher Nietling, the lead elder there, told me, if you just position yourself right, God will eventually, if He wants to, He will make you a leader. He will make you an elder. There's no point in impressing trying anybody. So there's no point in trying to impress Roland or Donnie. If God wants you to become one of those leader roles, He will appoint you. And my question to you this morning is, are you ready? Are you ready if God wants to use you? The second part there of that scripture is verse 12. Where it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Is some of us will never become leaders. All right? And again, it's not people that appoint you. It's God that appoints you. Some of us will never become leaders. But carefully look at that scripture. Who is doing the job? Is it the leaders that's doing the job? No, the leaders are there to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of ministry. Each and every single one of us have a part to play. Now, maybe you feel that my part is not that big. Maybe you have little children and you kind of feel you're in a situation where you can't play your part because you have little children, like Anita is at that stage at this moment. But can I tell you that the way that you play with your children, the way that you model a good father or a good mother, is also having something to bring to church. And so don't just think for a season, oh, but I'm a mother of a toddler, I can't do anything. Even in that, you can do. And there's much more examples that we can use, but you get the point. So, that scripture is kind of why we do church. Now, the the next scripture, Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, is the goal of church. What do we want to achieve here? Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. This part here is the emphasis on when each part is working properly, make the body grow up so that it builds itself up in love. Each and every one of us have a role to play. Our goal is to grow up in love. And if there's one part of this mechanism not working, we won't achieve that. So maybe you can ask me, but Andre, how do I know that I'm called? How do I know that God called me to this church? Maybe you disqualify yourself. Maybe you have done very bad things in the past and you feel like, but how can I teach some people? How can I impact? How can I influence other people? Maybe you are now in sin and you feel that you just can't move. You just can't go further. And I want you, and so you'll see that my whole message this morning is based around Ephesians. So in the week, if you have time, if you want to do it, you can read through the book of Ephesians. There's, I think, five chapters. And so it's very easy. But I want to go to Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 14. I think maybe just move on to verse 4. Yeah, there. And so I'm not going to read everything, but if you feel this morning, but how do I know I'm called? Just quickly look at that. Even as He chose you. So the first, okay, so what this is kind of spiritual blessings that you have that is yours in Christ. So the first one is you are chosen. God chose you in verse 4 before the foundations of the earth. In verse 5 it says, He predestined us for adoption. He predestined us. So that to me is like, wow. Like you are not a random mutation of molecules that, according to evolution, got together and you happen to be here in this point of time. No, you are predestined by the Lord before the foundations of this earth. You are predestined for adoption. You are not here to falach. You are not here by chance, coincidentally. You are here because God predestined you. Thank you. The second one there in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses. It's amazing. Before, while we were still sinners, while I told the guys in the previous meeting, I went through really low stuff in my life. I did unimaginable stuff. And if I created me, I would have felt so betrayed in what I did. But yet, even in that, the Lord knew that I will go through that. He still loved me, and He still loved me so much that He died on a cross. I mean, can you imagine a God that's in heaven, that comes to earth, first of all, being a baby, not able to do anything for Himself, and then secondly, hanging on a cross and die the most humiliating death for people that don't want Him, that don't regard Him as Lord. I mean, that is love. So you are redeemed. You are forgiven. Because of that, heaven is your inheritance. That is verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined. And then the last one is you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's probably my favorite one. Every single time I just kind of feel like I'm losing it, I remind myself I am sealed in the Holy Spirit. So, let's quickly go to Ephesians 2, verse 4. Just the emphasis. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. Is that the... Okay, I'm just going to read it here. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ, with Jesus Christ. So that to me is just amazing. And now we know that you are called, you know that you have a purpose here. We know the goal of church. Now we have a response. We can't just go and sit back and now relax. We have a response. And I have five verses that I want to highlight to you this morning. The first one is Ephesians 4:22-24. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, this morning I used an example of exercise, but I thought of a better example. What that scripture basically states is that your mind and your body works in unison. The one affects the other. If you surround yourself with healthy stuff, your mind will think healthy thoughts. If you think healthy thoughts, you will surround yourself with healthy stuff. So what happened in my life? Because of mistakes I made, because of the way I chose to socialize when I grow up, I find it very difficult to speak to people. For me, it is the most terrifying thing to approach a new people. I can't even phone and order pizza. I don't like it. Anita must do that. All right? I can't stop and ask somebody for directions. Okay? And that's because of stuff that I did and the way that I never learned how to socialize well. But I know that being a leader in this church, I have to meet new people. So what do? I just do it. Will Murray, an elder in one of our congregations, he said this once, if you don't feel like doing something, keep on doing it until you feel like doing it. So for me, it's very difficult. When I came here first, it was very difficult to go speak to Leon or Tian or whoever. But I just went. I just put kind of my own pride in my pocket and I'm like, Lord, I know that this is something that I have to grow in. And now it's much easier. It's much easier to just go and speak to somebody. I mean, meeting somebody for coffee that is maybe a visitor or something, that's for me, that's very, because what do you say? I mean, but after doing it a few times, it's easier. You get a topic and you just speak about the topic and then you go. And I've learned to ask questions. Ask questions and then people respond and then you have something to talk about. All right. So the one affects the other. The other thing that I also want to mention there is the scripture speaks about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. So a very helpful tip that I've that someone taught me is, look, if you are born and you are saved at the age of, say, 30 or 35, or let's say 30, you create bad habits for 30 years. And then you became alive in Christ. You become a new person, but you still have those bad habits. Now the script tells us, put off the old the bad habits and put on the new. But it's not that easy to put off the old habits. So what somebody told me is to actually replace them with something. Now that will look different for each and every single one of us. But for instance, if you had the bad habit of drinking and you become saved and now you know you have to leave that. Lord tells you, I don't want you to drink anything. You had created this habit of standing next to a braai or standing with friends with a glass in your hand with alcohol in it. Now instead of having that, you replace it actively with water or cool drink or something. So don't just stop doing something. Replace it with something else. All right, let's go to the next one. Ephesians 4:25-27. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. So, friends, can I tell you this morning that above all else, Satan is looking for an opportunity. He wants to see us being in disunity. He wants to see us quarrel. And ultimately, he wants to see us split. And not multiply in a good sense, split into some go that way and some go that way. And I think personally that is the saddest thing to see in a church, because that means that certain people couldn't lay themselves down enough. Because sometimes you are right, sometimes that person is also right. But just because we can't meet each other in the middle, churches split. And that's the reason why they do. So I think that is the saddest thing to do. And we cannot allow that. That scripture ends where it says, and give no opportunity to the devil. In other words, do not go sleep tonight after sorting out an offense that you have with someone in this church. All right? Speak the truth in love. Don't judge each other, but go sort it out. I love this part where it says, in verse 25, it says, for we are members one of another. So I want you to actually turn to the person next to you or behind you or in front of you and tell them, I belong to you. So what that means is, Vaughn, maybe you must come stand here next to me. Stand there, Vaughn. So what this means is, if there's a fight here now, all right? If somebody comes in here and he wants to harm us, who are you going to pick on your side? Okay? So basically, this for me is very encouraging. Because I know, Vaughn, I belong to you. So if somebody wants to hurt me, I belong to Vaughn, and he's obligated by scripture to defend me. Because I belong to Vaughn and he belongs to me. All right. And one day, I would ask my mother to stand. Now, by the way, my mother and sister is also there. And then you'll see why my size is there. All right. So what that means is that one day we'll enter heaven. And these are the people that will enter heaven with you. And that for me is actually amazing. So let's do effort to keep the unity. And there will be fighting. There will be differences. I mean, in every family, you can just see with your wife, for those of you who are married, that there's differences. But at the end, we stick together. The next scripture, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There's nothing that causes disunity like gossip. And we have spoken about that numerous times. But what it basically is, and if I can again use the example, if Tian comes to me and he tells me, Tian, ach Johandre, this thing that Donnie does. Now, my question should be then, Stian, are you prepared to tell that to Donnie? In the previous meeting, I used Vaughn because nobody's prepared to gossip about Vaughn and then tell it in front of him. Anyway, so I can help Tian. And I can, because it's easy to gossip. I realize it's easy because whole society, everything is about gossip. Everything is about judging each other and behind their backs, gossiping, and I can see it in my workplace as well. But we need to help each other. If Tian approaches me and he wants to tell me something about Donnie, my job, not to judge him, my job is to help him, ask him, Tian, are you prepared to tell that to Donnie? No? So then I don't want to hear. Don't implicate yourself in the gossip. All right. Let's keep the unity. Let's use words, but only such as is good for building up. Right. The next two scriptures speaks for themselves. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And Ephesians 5 verse 10 says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In everything, I love that song. In Jesus is the middle. Jesus is the center. He has done everything for us. So in everything that we do, we must try to please the Lord. And not please in the bad sense of the word, but we must do which is good. The last scripture, I want to land with this. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So while I was preparing this preach, I thought of this, and maybe it's not the most biblical statement, but what if the Lord comes tomorrow? Or maybe, what if the Lord comes this afternoon and we're in heaven? And you stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and you kind of excited to be there, you're ready to partake in this feast, and you glance over and you see that guy in church that you have an offense with. How awkward would that be? Okay? So let's make effort to sort it out. God created us, and after He created us, we betrayed Him. Mankind betrayed God. And I don't know about you, but I personally knew about stuff that I so badly betrayed God and so badly destroyed His creation, destroyed the lives of other people, caused harm in the lives of other people that He created, and yet He forgave me. So there's nothing that somebody in this church can do that is unforgivable. So I want to challenge you, please sort it out. Sort it out before it becomes something. So this morning, I want to address three groups of people. I want everyone to please bow their heads and not look around, close your eyes. The first group of people are those that have no idea what I've been talking about this morning. If you sit there and you are not saved, and the Lord, your chest is now like bouncing here in your throat, I want to tell you that it is Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that is prompting you, that is poking you to give your life to Him. Because God, it says in Scripture that He died for our sins while we were dead in our trespasses. God gave everything for us. And if you haven't made that conscious decision to follow Him, we would like to give you the opportunity now. And there would be nothing greater for me this day, today, than to welcome you as part of this family. Scripture says that for every single person that gives their heart to the Lord, there's a celebration in heaven, and I would love to be part of that celebration. Is there anyone? You can just raise your hands if there's anyone who pray for you. Right, then there's a next group of people, and I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to raise your hand. It's between you and God and the other person. If you are caught in unforgiveness, if you have an offense or you're angry at somebody, I want to challenge you, before the sun goes down tonight, before you go to bed, speak to that person. Send him a WhatsApp. Make a meeting. If somebody did something wrong to you, tell him that. Give that person the opportunity to repent. If you did something to somebody else, get on your phone, ask for forgiveness. Let's sort this out. Let's grow together in unity so the church can be what God supposed it to be. And then the last part is, and I want you, if it's you, I want you to be brave. I want you to stand up, and I would love to pray for you. If you feel that you are now in the situation where I was on the 7th of July, I want you to respond. If God tells you, God pokes your heart now and He says, I want to use you, but I can't. I want you to stand up as a prophetic act, as a symbolic act, or as a proclamation that you are now prepared to lay everything aside. And as that song said, make Jesus the center of it all. In your life, does any one of you be brave and respond? Is there anyone that wants to respond? If later in the week you maybe have that quiet time and the Lord stirs you, I want to encourage you, don't keep it to yourself. Speak to somebody you trust, and ask that person to keep you accountable. And I just end off in prayer for us. Thank you Father God that you were here this morning, Thank you, Jesus, that you come speak to us, Father God. I thank you for each and every single person that is here, Lord. Father, I pray that this week we will acknowledge the fact that you gave everything for us. You forgive the terrible of terriblest, Father God. You forgive the most unimaginable sins, Father God, and help us to also forgive those who have caused us harm. And Father, help us to be courageous and to address it, Father God, and to speak to those and to clear the sheets, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's some of us here that you want to use, but something is hindering, Father, I trust and I pray that in this week that you will point it out to them, Lord Jesus. And with that comes the Holy Spirit that renews our mind. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.